all kinds of other wonderful churches, wonderful church groups. I said, there's only one church, but there's all kind of wonderful church groups. We were just up to one yesterday afternoon. We were at Pastor Andrew Bryce's Summerside Community Church. They got a great church. Pastor Andrew and Shirley are great ministers of God up in that area and doing some wonderful things. And it's good to be connected with the body of Christ that is so much bigger than ourselves, so much bigger than one fellowship. And I do believe that the more we come together in unity of faith, we will be able to be connected so that the Lord that commands the blessing upon unity will be able to pour out his blessing in ways that we've never seen it before. We all want to be blessed, don't we? I mean, I want to be blessed. I'm sure we all want to be blessed. But when God spoke that word to Abraham, when he said that you'll be blessed, he didn't say, I'm going to bless you simply for your sake. He said, I'm going to bless you so that you can be a blessing to the nations. And often the church stops about blessing for me. What am I going to get out of this? But everything with God goes deeper than that. Even in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, he said, the Lord says, it is me who gives you the ability to get wealth. And often we like to stop there. Thank God. God gives me the ability to get wealth. But the rest of that verse says, so that I might establish my covenant upon the earth. There's a reason for the wealth that God gives us. It's not merely for us, but it is to establish his covenant upon the earth. God wants to show the world that he's a good God, that he's a prosperous God, and people that walk with him are blessed. It's his desire. And I want to talk this morning a little bit about grace and favor, which really basically is the same thing. But I want to share a little bit concerning that today, because it has so much to do with being able to receive things from God. 37 years ago today, there was a group of people that God showered his grace upon. There were six people who were held up in Tehran, Iran. They were the Iranian hostages, and they were held up in the Canadian embassy. The Canadian embassy protected them. Some of you will remember that when the hostages took place, hostage situation in Iran. It was a very tense situation. A lot of them could have been, they very possibly might have been killed, at least tortured, had they been caught. But they were ushered off, and they were able to get to the Canadian embassy, where the Canadian embassy was able to eventually get them out into Switzerland. They escaped. Now, the blessing of the Lord, or I could say the grace of the Lord, were on those six hostages. There were other hostages that were held at that time, and they weren't set free for 444 days, I think it was. And they had to go through that whole period of being a captive. But these six were able to get out because the favor of God, the grace of God, was upon them. And I say it was the grace of God administered to them through the Canadian embassy, through Ken Taylor and the rest of the Canadian embassy. It was the grace of God that blinded the eyes of the Iranian officials when it came to they were able to go through the airport and get on the flight to get out of the country. And the grace of God, the favor of God, was upon them. Who knows, in the big scheme of things, maybe God knew very well if those people didn't get out, they weren't going to make it. If those people didn't get out, they would be killed. And so his favor came forth, his grace came forth, and was able to get them out of there. But the grace and favor came through the hands of the Canadian embassy. Now, I want us to think about that a little bit this morning, because grace and favor, God wants to pour that out to not only to other believers, but to the world. And he's going to need some hands to be able to pour that out through. He's going to need some people on the earth who are willing to say, Jesus, let me be your hands. Jesus, let me be your feet. Jesus, let me be your voice, your mouth in this particular situation, to be able to pour out grace and favor to those who are around me. And if we will look at ourselves in that way, we'll suddenly realize that, hey, I can be a conduit for the grace of God. I can be a conduit for what God wants to do upon the earth. And as I'm a conduit for the grace of God flowing through me, I know that that grace of God is going to flood me as well. Have you ever heard In fact, it was on this week. They were talking about plumbing issues on the radio. And one of the main concerns was when you turn the tap on in the morning, especially with old pipes, that there's a taste on the water. First thing you pour it, when you turn the tap on, you get a cup of water, there's a bad taste there because overnight, the things that were in the pipe would settle in the water and it would come out in the flavor of the water. This conduit that was used to get water to us actually picks up things and hangs on to them as the water flows through it. Well, you and I, as a conduit of the grace and favor of God, when we are allowing that to pour through us, things stick to us in the process. Things from heaven stick to us in the process. The anointing sticks to us. The grace, the favor sticks to us in the process of giving it out to somebody else. So the more I give, the more it gets stuck to me. I want to be a magnet of the anointing of God. But I need to know when to release it as well. As we want that coming to us, we also need to be able to know when somebody's ready to receive the blessing and grace of God. And be like one of those huge magnet machines where they can pick up a car with magnet and they move it over here, but then they hit a switch and the magnetized leaves and the thing is dropped and you're releasing it. Well, you and I, as being people who are carriers of favor, carriers of the grace of God, we need to know when to receive it, when to release it, so God will get the glory. We are blessed to be a blessing. So let's look now at the word, the Greek word that's used for grace and favor in the Bible. It's charis, charis, is used both for grace and favor. They're interchangeable. So if you get confused about when I'm changing grace and favor, just forget about it. It's all the same thing, pretty much, because I could confuse myself. It means that which affords joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, charm, loveliness. Doesn't that sound like good stuff? Goodwill, loving kindness, favor. Of the merciful kindness by which God, exerting his holy influence upon souls, turns them to Christ, keeps, strengthens, increases them in Christian faith, knowledge, affection, and kindles them to exercise of the Christian virtues. That's amazing. That's a wonderful word, favor, grace. But notice it's something that is to go on continually. We don't just receive it one time. It's something that has to happen in our lives continually if we're going to grow. We can't grow without the favor and blessing of God upon our lives. We must continue to receive that grace and favor. It's amazing, absolutely amazing what grace and favor can do to us and for us. We see demonstrations of it all through the Bible, even in the Old Testament. I love reading about some of the grace and favor that's been bestowed upon God's people in the Old Testament. Because as I read about it, as great as it is, you get over there in the New Testament, the Bible says that we're under a better covenant, a new and better covenant. So it includes all that greatness of the old covenant, but yet it's something better. Praise God. So when we look in the Old Testament and we read about the favor and blessing of God that's been distributed, we can say, Lord, we believe we're candidates for more. On this side of the cross, I believe we're candidates for more. Jesus has already gone, died, was buried, was raised again from the dead. And because of that, we're under a better covenant. Therefore, whatever we read in the Old Testament, we can expect more in the New Testament. Praise God. And we receive it, of course, by faith. But if we look in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, Exodus 12:36, we'll read that passage. The Lord really had given great favor to the children of Israel. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they granted them what they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. So when God was taking Israel out of the land of Egypt, he was taking them out, but he wasn't taking them out empty-handed. It says that God gave them favor in the sight of the Egyptians. It was God, the purpose of God, the love of God, the grace of God, the kindness of God that allowed the Israelites to get the things that the Egyptian had. Now, can you imagine the Israelites would have to be bold to some degree to go to the Egyptians and say, listen, I want your gold, I want your silver. The Egyptians hated the Israelites, but yet God said, he wanted them to go and ask the Egyptians for the prosperity that they had. God gave them favor, and they just released that, whatever they wanted. And so that the Bible says that the Israelites plundered the Egyptians. Now, that is a type of the church coming out of the world. That is a type of coming out of the world and coming into the grace of God. And we will eventually see what is spoken about in the scriptures about the wealth of the wicked being stored up for the just. We're eventually going to see the world, the wickedness of the world, and the wicked players of this world. We're eventually going to see them plundered. It may not be in my day, but there's a day coming when the church of the Lord Jesus Christ will rise up in such a stature that all the things of this world will fall into their hands, so that they'll be able to advance the kingdom, and so that the covenant of God will be fulfilled upon the earth. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad to be on this team of the church. I'm so glad to be on working with a group that God has already said we're victorious. God is already declaring that we are victorious while we are here on the earth. You see, the reason for you and I being here right now, slow down, Pastor, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm getting excited. The reason for us being here is that we are to advance His kingdom. Jesus is King. Don't ever forget that. We have a King. His name is Jesus. We are kingdom citizens. And the goal of us is, for us being here on the earth, is to advance His kingdom. To declare His kingdom come, His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's desire is to see the very environment of heaven rest upon earth. The love of God that passes all understanding, the peace of God that passes all understanding, to cover this earth like the water covers the sea. Praise God. We are in a wonderful place. So God, in His grace toward Israelites, allowed them to plunder the Egyptians. Grace is the power to release favor, while favor itself is the desire to do so. Like, it's almost like I favor Robert to be able to be successful. Well, the grace is the power to be able to cause that to come to pass. Grace and favor work so close together. And as we know that favor is upon the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we also must know that just because God wants to bless us doesn't mean necessarily that it's always going to fall upon us. There is an element of faith that must be acted upon. In other words, we must believe that He wants to bless us. We must believe that He has favored us. And then believe that there is power to walk in that favor. Now, we'll never do that if we're not interested in walking in His word. Because He said that my word I have set above my name. So as much as we call on the name of Jesus, we end a lot of prayers with the name of Jesus. You know, Father, we ask this in the name of Jesus. We must not forget that He has labeled His word even above His name. So if we are not walking in heeding His word, then we can't expect to receive the things that come from God in grace and favor, other than salvation. Because when we come to God, we come to God, we're sinners, we don't know, you know, a left foot from a right foot when it comes to spiritual things. God just pours out His grace, and we'll read about that in a few minutes. And He'll pour out His grace and give us an ability to believe. But when we begin maturing into the things of the kingdom of God, we must consider His word and expect that the more we walk in His word, the more we obey His word, the more grace and favor we can expect to fall upon us. God wants you and I to grow up. We come into the kingdom of God as children, as little babes, actually. We come in, you know, even as a seed. Because the seed of the word gets planted on the inside of us and begins to grow. And God expects us to mature in Him. In other words, He expects us not to be always concerned about me. You know, there's some other people in the world. You ever notice that about little kids? A lot of times it's me, me, me. And, you know, they whatever their little circle that they're involved in, they want to be the center of attention, whatever makes them happy. Well, when we grow up, God wants us to consider others. He wants us to look at how we can address a problem in another person's life. He wants us to be a conduit. With little kids, it's, Lord, bless me, but stop right here. In other words, you don't feel like being a conduit. But as you grow up in the things of God, you realize, hey, there's more to this life than just me. Just me and my family. There's more to this life than just me and my family. I remember hearing it one time in school. I remember this teacher saying this. I don't know why these some things come back to your mind. I don't remember much about school, but I remember that. But anyway, they asked us, you know, what do you think about this individual? He was a multimillionaire, and he gave all his wealth to his children. Just blessed them tremendously, and they were so happy. What do you think? Did that person have a kind heart? How big was his world vision? And of course, somebody said, well, he was generous and so forth, and wow, that was all good. But no, his generosity was too close to home. You see, what's he going to do with the money anyway? It's got to go somewhere. No, if you have a real person who is generous, is able to see beyond their family, beyond to see the things that affect them. If I give good things to my children, I want to bless them, I want to be happy. Obviously, we want that. But if I limit my giving to what is going to make me happy, then I'm less than generous. Not God's kind of generous anyway. I'm less than that. I'm not really expressing the heart of God, because when God in his generosity puts forth his hand to bless us and for favor to come upon us, he's asking for nothing in return. And when he talks about being obedient to my word, to his word, he talks about putting yourself in a position so that he is able to impart blessing that you can receive. You see, if we are not walking in obedience to his word, he may want to throw favor and grace upon us, but his word, not obeying his word, will keep us from being able to receive the blessing of God. So we always must take his word into account. He has placed his word above his name. Yes. I can pray all day in Jesus' name, this and that and the other thing, but if I'm not paying attention to his word, it's not going to add up. Can you see that? Are you with me? Good. So God showed favor. So when we look at the case of the Iranian hostages, it was God's favor and desire to release them, and it was his grace that gave the power to accomplish the task. In other words, without his grace, it would all fell apart. And there are many scriptures that speak about favor and grace, the Lord coming to his people, imparting favor and grace. We just want to look at a few of them. Luke chapter 2, verse 52. Notice that grace can be increased. You can increase the degree of your grace upon your life. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature in the sight of God and man. He increased in wisdom. In other words, he didn't stop with the grace and favor that was blessed upon him, that was put upon him in earlier times. He took that grace and favor and began to increase it. And I believe that God is calling us today. He says, church, you have been favored with grace upon your life. I've loved to show grace to my people, and you have a measure of it. Now I want you to increase in the favor and grace that's upon your life. I want you to grow in that. I don't want you to just take it and allow it to be stagnant. It must be alive. It must produce some things. It's meant to be released to others around us. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man. We are enabled to increase the favor of blessing upon our lives. Psalms 35:27 says, let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause, and let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Isn't that a wonderful scripture? Let the Lord be magnified. He wants us to be concerned about his righteous cause. The king, when he wrote this, King David, when he wrote this, he said, let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. I believe this is prophetically speaking, and that God is saying for us to shout and be glad that when we look at his righteous cause, you see, we are to show favor toward God's causes as well. We are to have a desire to see God's plan, God's purpose, God's dream fulfilled on the earth. We are to have a desire to see the kingdom of God released upon the earth. And so he's saying that we have a responsibility to be involved in the things that God wants us to be involved in so that he can advance his kingdom. We have a responsibility to pour favor upon the things that he's doing, rather than just sit back and say and think that we're just here to, you know, live out this life and we're just barely get through this earth and then we'll make it to heaven. No, I don't know about you, but there's some things that there's some things that we're not going to be able to do when we get to heaven that we can do on earth. There are some things that we can do on earth that we're not going to be able to do in heaven. Heaven is run under different principles than what earth is run under. On earth, we need an earth suit, not in heaven. Obviously, that we don't need a flesh and blood body to be in heaven. Obviously, it's on earth we do. That's why the demonic spirits are always looking for somebody to inhabit, because you need an earth suit to live here on earth. If you're going to express yourself here on earth, you have to live in somebody. There, you have to have flesh and bone to be able to express yourself. But in heaven, it's a different case. One thing that we can do here on earth that we can't do in heaven is that we can lead people to the Lord Jesus Christ here on earth. We can share the gospel with someone who is not saved and show them the way to heaven. So if we ever plan to do that, if we ever plan to get excited about it, it's going to have to be here on earth. We can't wait till we get to heaven to do that. There's some things that we're going to have to wait to get to heaven to do, but not when it comes to advancing the kingdom here on earth. We can share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ here while we are on earth. So he wants us to favor his righteous cause. Now in Genesis 39:21, here we see where the Lord showed favor to Joseph. But the Lord was with Joseph. You know the story. Joseph was in prison. He was accused of doing something he never done, and he was thrown into prison. He had all kinds of reason to take offense and to be mad at God and all the rest of it, but he didn't. He held a pure heart before God. And the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. The Lord gave him favor. Sometimes we look at the keeper of that jailer, and sometimes we think, you know, the jailer just liked Joseph so much he gave him favor. But no, the Bible says that it was the Lord that gave him favor. And this should be a clue. No matter where you're working, what kind of job you're in, if you're working for an employer, you don't have to look to him to show you favor. All you have to do is look to God, that the favor of God would be on you so that that man would do things, that employer would do things to bless you. You see, he could be a mean employer, but the Lord decides, I want to favor that employee. I want to favor that individual. And so even though that person might be mean, it might be tough, you can still expect the favor of God to be upon you. No matter what, sir, that's exciting to me. We don't have to yield it to an individual, a person, a mankind that is dictating whether we are going to walk in favor or not. No, that's between us and God. Joseph, he was being honorable before God, and so God wanted to show favor to him, and he caused that keeper to treat him in a good way, that jailkeeper to treat him in a wonderful way. Sometimes you have to look for favor, and if you look for it, you can find it. Proverbs 3:3, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find, everybody say find. Find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. By walking in mercy and truth, you can find favor. You can find favor. And by doing this, you'll find suddenly the favor of the Lord will come upon you, walking in his word. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Powerful scripture. Now by grace, everybody say grace. Now by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It is the gift of God. You have been saved. For by grace you have been saved through faith. By grace you have been saved through faith. By favor you have been saved through faith. You'll notice there, faith, favor, grace are all coupled together. I want you to watch just a short video. I'll explain to you why I want you to watch this afterwards, after we watch it. Grace and favor is drawing us to closer walk with God.
We could find true happiness and joy. And I wanted him to share that with me.
And I put my foot down for a few months, but you know, the pull of Christ is irresistible.
And thankfully, he did.
I just knew that I was sorry for the first time to God. And it was different than when I prayed before, because I'd prayed for forgiveness of sins, but never in a way that I felt the weight of sin.
I know I will never fully comprehend what it took for Jesus to endure the cross and to pay for my sin.
I can't look at the cross and not see not only the weight of my sin, but the forgiveness that is available.
And while the cross is a sobering reminder of my sin, I'm so thankful, and it brings me so much joy to know that God's justice was satisfied through the cross, and I can now be in relationship with Him.
The more I see my need for the cross on a daily basis, and the cross becomes more and more precious to me.
I see God for who He is, and I can enjoy the things of this life for what they are. It was an incredible process to find Jesus with my husband.
My name is Rick Enius.
My name is Lynn Enius.
And this is our story of grace.
Our story of grace. Of course, about people coming to Christ, about people knowing Christ, but I wanted to show you that because I want you to notice that how grace and favor had to be ministered to them, not just when they made their decision, but all the way getting up to it and all the way after as well. Grace and favor is something that needs to be a part. We realize that it's a part of our day every single day. It's not something that, you know, by grace I've been saved through faith. Yes, that's wonderful. I've been saved by the grace of God. I believe that the grace of God was imparted to me and I come into the kingdom. But that's not where faith and grace ends. It is a part of us. It has first drawn us to Jesus, but after that, it is to be a continual thing in our lives. We are to cultivate grace and favor in our lives continually so that we can grow in it. We just don't expect it to drop us on us when we need Him at salvation time, but it's a part of our life continually. Grace and favor is continually walking through our life. I'll read one more scripture to you because it is so crucial to recognize that you and I have an ability within us to do some awesome, awesome things. You have been created in the likeness and image of God. And if you've been created in the likeness and image of God, that means that you can do things in a sphere that God does them. Now, it may not be, it's not in anything like God is God and will never be like God. But what I'm saying is that He created you in His likeness, in His image, in the same class of God. And God does things by faith, and we are to live our lives by faith. Listen to this in Ephesians chapter 4, 29, and realize that you can do things to impart faith. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessity, necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer. It may impart grace to the hearer. When we read that, sometimes we think, well, it may impart grace, it'll make that person feel good. And it well may do that. If you speak kind words to somebody, if we make sure that we don't let any corrupt word proceed out of our mouth, but we only speak things that would be edifying to an individual, and that may make them feel good. But grace also releases power. When we speak edification to individuals, we release power to them as well. It's not just a feel-good thing. We are actually releasing power to them to be able to live for God. This is one reason why we talk a lot about, in our History Makers program, we're talking about going out into the community to be able to release grace to individuals who are not even saved. You see, I believe that if we can influence the government by speaking good words, words of edification to those who stand in that office, we can bring kingdom culture into the system of this world that can cause a shift to take place. So once that kingdom culture is impregnated, is implanted into the world of culture, the generations after us will start being influenced more by kingdom culture than the kingdom of this world. I think that's an awesome thing to be able to believe for. But it'll take sacrifice. We can impart grace to the hearers. Grace and favor can be imparted. What are you imparting this week? What do you plan to impart this week? Are you even going to be thinking that mode? How am I going to impart grace and favor? Don't forget about my analogy about turning on the tap in the morning and causing that water to taste different. Well, if you will consider imparting grace and favor, there's something that will happen on the inside of you to cause you to feel different as well, as grace and favor flows through you. Why don't you stand with me, please? Let's go ahead.